morning. Open up to the Gospel of John. John chapter number 19. As we continue on in our series through the Gospel of John, we're getting closer and closer to the end of the Gospel of John. So you'll be praying with us as we'll be looking at what next the subject matter is for our Sunday morning series. But Gospel of John chapter number 19. This morning we are going to try to cover a lot of verses because we're dealing with the cross this morning. But then we're going to have a thought at the end of it. So we're going to talk about the different verses, have a little commentary on all the verses, and at the end we're going to have the majority of the message. But the title of this morning's message is Finish the Job. Finish the Job. I bet you if I ask wives how many of your husbands start jobs and do not finish them till months later, I wonder how many of our wives would raise their hand and say, that's my husband. How many, they start one job and they just never get it done and they can walk into your house. My wife would probably be raising both hands because I'm good at wanting to start something but not always finishing. But to be honest with you, our husbands know that our wives like to do the same thing sometimes. They like to start something and not finish it. Well, I want you to see as we talk about these words and these verses today. And I know last week we pictured Christ and the suffering he went through at the scourging. And I know that we can do the same on the cross. And this morning we can look at that, and we will look at that a little bit. But I want you to look at more an individual, the God-man that came to earth to finish the job. I want you to see that he completed the task. And when he said those words, it is finished, he had done what God had called him to do, what God sent him to do. And us as Christians today, we must learn to finish the job that he's given us, to continue on the path, not to stop, not to give up, but instead to finish. If you take your Bibles and just go back a couple of pages to John chapter 17, I want you to look at that verse we see in the high priestly prayer, Jesus' prayer here in John chapter 17, verse number 4. It says, I have glorified thee on earth. Look what it says there. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now, here, this is even before he got to the cross. He was going to finish the job on the cross. And I want us to think of that. I want us to see him today. But as we see him today, I wanted to see him as the victor, as someone who's finishing. You know, he is not a victim here. I want you to understand as we read through these verses and get the understanding, Jesus could have stopped at any moment or any time. He could have called the 12 legions of angels that he mentioned in the garden. He could have done anything. He didn't need even the angels' help. He could have done whatever he wanted to. He was God. But I want you to see him as the victim today. And last week, it wasn't trying to show him as a victim. It was showing the grief and the pain and the punishment that he went through for our sakes. And this morning, I want you to see him as the victor. I want you to see how he's fulfilling scriptures and how he's accomplishing the task that he has been set aside to do. And he is finishing the work that God had given him to do. When I come to these passages of scriptures dealing with the cross, I always am a little bit overwhelmed and humbled. There are so many spiritual lessons that can be taught and applied to our day-to-day lives. But there's a few things I want you to consider as we're going through. View him today as the victor. View him as today completing the job that God's given him. Remember, this is the greatest story that's ever told. And remember back in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned. They were promised the Savior. That's what Jesus is being here in this chapter. But it started before even then. Before Jesus ever came, before the world was ever created, the Bible talks about how before the foundations of the world, how the Lamb of God was slain. Before the world was ever created, the plan was to send Jesus Christ to this world to suffer the way we see him suffer in this chapter. And that's what he came, and he comes to do, and to finish the job. So when you're reading these verses, read him and see him. Even though the task is not easy, even though it is affecting others, such as his mother and the other ones that are watching, even though there's great suffering, and even though there's exhaustion that's dealt with, and even though his body is falling apart around him, he finishes the job. This morning, I pray that we leave this place with a new vigor, a new purpose in our heart and our life, to finish the job that God's given us to do. I know so easy it is for us to fall back. So many times it's easy for us to quit, to give in when circumstances get tough or when people mock you or when people persecute you. Well, as you read these verses, think and see that Jesus Christ, the victor, finished the job that God gave him. Let's look here in John chapter 19, start off in verse number 16. Then delivered he, talking about Pilate, him, talking about Jesus Christ, therefore unto them, talking about the Jews, to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. Once again, they led him away. When they were leading him away, it says in verse 17, and he bearing his cross. Now, once again, you put all the Gospels together, we know that Jesus falls under the weight of the cross, and that they asked Simon of Cyrene to carry the cross for him, because Jesus' body, as we learned about last week, it's been torn apart. You and I are going to be able to recognize who he was because of the way his body. And you imagine when they took that robe off and they stripped that robe off and reopening all those wounds and then taking an old rugged tree and laying it on his back that would have weighed hundreds of pounds to carry to the cross, carry to the mount, the anguish. You know, just give you a little excerpt from one of the other books to show you as a victor. Remember, they had women that were weeping after Jesus as he was carrying this cross. Do you remember what he said to them? Jesus, turning unto them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. That's found in Luke chapter 23, verse 28. See, Jesus was not saying, don't feel sorry for me. He's saying, I'm doing what God's called me to do. You need to weep for yourselves. You need to consider yourselves and where you're at and the state that you're in. He's saying, don't weep. And when we come to Easter, when we come to the cross, we don't need to weep for him. That's not what Jesus is looking. Jesus is saying that he's the victor. He's the one finishing the job. And don't feel sorry for him, but see what he went through for us. And if he finished the job for us, how much more should we be willing to do the work for him? What he did, when he meant that he finished, meant that redemption's plan was complete. And how, as Christ finished the work for us, then we should ask, what is the work I can do for him? So I want you to see him today as he's, in verse number 17, carrying his cross. It says, into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Now, some people say, well, this is evidence that Pilate here turned and believed in him. And I think Pilate might have believed that he had something special and that he might have believed that he had a calling for this, but he never recognized him as the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He would have never given him over. He chose his career. I think that the purpose that he wrote this was more as a dig at the Jews. Remember how the Jews did not want Jesus to be called the king? He said, behold your king, and they cried out, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate wanted to let him go, but they told him, Pilate, if you let him go, we're going to go tell Rome on you. So I think Pilate writes out these words. Now, once again, it does give glory to Jesus. It is written in three different languages, so that all that's passing by. But I think Pilate writes these words, not because he believes in him, but instead he's writing these words to get back at the Jews. Because the Jews played their hand and made Pilate crucify him. But Pilate here is getting back at him. It says in verse number 20, this title that read many of the Jews. For the place where Jesus was crucified was not nigh to the city. And it was written in the Hebrew and Greek and Latin. So that way everyone who was passing by would be able to tell what it was. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. So Pilate says, forget you. Jews didn't want that to be said about him. They did not recognize him as the king. He did not want it written about him. But Pilate wrote that, to get on his nerves, their nerves. Verse 23, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Now, I want you to see here, this is one of the examples you're going to see in this chapter. You see what it says? Whose it shall be that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Thousands of years before, hundreds of years before it was written, that they were going to do this. And Jesus is fulfilling the scriptures here. And look, isn't it amazing that how God uses the men who crucified him to fulfill his scriptures? It's amazing how God works and how much God is in control. Look in verse number 25. Now there stood by the cross Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her into his own house. Now we see here Jesus is caring for his mother from the cross. His mother had already been through so much and already seen so much. And remember when Simeon made that prophecy about about her going through suffering so much, she would never probably realize what she was seeing and what she was looking at. Jesus takes and tells her to go. In verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished. Once again, you see that he's in control. He knows everything that has been accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled. So he's saying something out so that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Once again, I want you to understand that Jesus gave up the ghost. He commended his spirit to the Father. This was not something that was taken from him, but willingly laid down. But when you see that phrase, it is finished, what is he referring to there? He is referring to the redemption, the redemptive work that was planned for him and the purpose of his life in coming to this world. Why was the purpose he came? He came to seek and to save lost sinners. He did not come to begin a new religion. He did not come to heal the people. He did not come to teach and train the disciples. Yes, he did all those different things. But the purpose and the plan for the reason why he came was to redeem man's lost souls. We see here, when he said it was finished, it was the greatest words he ever spoken because of the words, what it signified. The redemptive work was done. Now man could call upon God to save their soul. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. You see here in the Bible, it talks about how none of his bones would have been broken. But in verse number 32, God takes care of that. And then came the soldiers and break the legs of the first and other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they break not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he saw that it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. What it's saying there is that over and over the scriptures have been fulfilled. You see the casting of the lots. We see the words that he said. We see the way that he was crucified. And we also see here the fact that he said, I thirst. But in verse number 36, for these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. All these things have been fulfilled. All this truth has been taken. And why do you make a big deal of this? It's because this is showing us and teaching us the Bible is truth. The Bible is real. If it was prophesied back then, it came true today and this day. And now, if the things that are saying is going to be prophesied for the future, we can count on them being true. Let's also look here in verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for the fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on the sermon. Dearly Father, Lord, as we come to the cross today, Lord, I pray that we see you. Lord, we don't look past the sorrow and the grief that you bore for us, the stripes that you bore for us, the fact that you went to the cross for us. Lord, I pray that you make that fresh in our minds. But Lord, we don't look upon you to feel sorry, but instead we look upon the price that you paid for our sins, that we see you as the victor, fulfilling scripture, complete control. Lord, one that we can serve, the one that we can worship, and the one that we can lift up and, Lord, just praise. Lord, today I pray that we leave this place wanting to finish the job that you've given us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Has Christ finished his work for me? And the answer is yes. Then the question should be, tell me what I can do for him. If Jesus Christ said, it is finished, and he finished this work for me, and he saved me, then the question should not be anything else but, what can I do for him? And you think about it, when Saul of Tarsus was on the road to Damascus, and he was blinded by the bright light, what were the two things he said? He said, Lord, he says, who are you, Lord? And then he said, Lord, what will you have me to do? When he recognized that it was God, he says, if you're God, then what is it that you want me to do? This coming Easter, as we come and look and we examine ourselves and we see ourselves and we see Christ and we see the sacrifice that he made, the story, the fulfillment of the scripture and the greatest story ever told leading up. Can you imagine the promise that was given to Adam and Eve and how God, we learned about in the book of Exodus in Sunday school, brought out a nation, and then how that nation, all the reason why that nation came about was to bring Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ came through the line of David and came through Mary, and now he is paying the price for our sins and the sins of the world. He is being the Savior today. And as we look at that and we examine that, we should fall on our face and say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? And we think about Easter and see the sacrifice and the price that he paid, but we need to understand he finished the job. Now, when we think about it is finished, he had finished the work for us. Will I also persevere and finish the work for him? Not to save myself from all that is done, but because I am saved. Now that I must work the work that he gave us by the power he's given us. Despite the discouragement, despite the sufferings, despite the weakness, despite the exhaustion, we need to be able to continue on in the work that he's given us. Let me caution you. Do not give up. Do not stop working until the work is done, until it is finished. It is a caution that we must continue on working till we die. Too many of us give up as Christians. Too many of us get tired. Too many of us get weak. Too many of us get exhausted. Too many of us just feel like we just can't go on, or we face a hardship, we face suffering, and we just say, it's just not worth it. But what we need to see is Christ on the cross finishing what he was called to do. Wouldn't you like to say with Jesus, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do? Wouldn't you like to say with Paul that he ran the race and he's finished the course? Yep. He fought the good fight. Isn't that what we should be looking to do? As we think about Easter, we think about the sacrifice that was made and that Jesus says, it is finished, saying that it's all done, it's all over with. I've done exactly what God's asked me to do. Let's think about this. First of all, finishing the job will require sacrifice. Finishing the job will require sacrifice is the first point. You know, when we see the cross, we see sacrifice. I mean, that's exactly what it was, is Jesus Christ being sacrificed by God for our sins. He chose to allow him to do this so he could die for our sins. The Holy Lamb of God. And when it comes to us finishing our job, sometimes it takes sacrifice. We mentioned all those projects that are at the house that your husbands have started and never finished. We can all make probably excuses, and all good excuses. They don't have enough time. They work hard. They do this. They don't have the knowledge. They don't have the ability. But you know what? To finish a job, many times it takes sacrifice. It takes work. Jesus in the garden said these words, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. See, I don't think he's looking at the cup of the sufferings and the grief. I don't think that bothered him. I think when he became sin for us and that God had to turn his back on him, that's what he's asking, that if it can be done any other way. He says, but not my will, but thine be done. Christian, if we're going to finish the job that God's given us, we're going to have to sacrifice. When the Bible says, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake the same shall save it. You know what? The Christian life, Jesus Christ has never painted it as a bed of roses. Jesus Christ has never ever said it was going to be easy. Jesus Christ never took a shortcut to the cross. Jesus Christ never told his disciples, hey, look, once you give your name, then give your life over to me, it's going to be a bed of roses. Everyone's going to pat you on the back. Everyone's going to congratulate you. Everybody's going to be there for you. Everybody's going to help you along the way. He said the complete opposite. He said it's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. But he says when you look at the cross and you see when he said it was finished, it's our job now to finish the work he's given us. I want to help you understand that finishing the job will involve persecution also. That's point number two. It's going to cause sacrifice. And I'll be honest with you. I know many of you. You do sacrifice. You do give. You give of your time. You give of your resources. You give of your talents. And you give. And I know I see that from many of you. And I thank you for that. And if you're doing what God's called you to do, then finish the job. Keep it up. It takes perseverance. But not only does it involve perseverance, the Bible teaches us something that it involves persecution too. Now, this is not what we like to hear. This is not what we like to see. But when we see this cross, what do we see? Jesus' job, what did it take? It took sacrifice. It took of him giving of himself completely. He gave of himself, you know, because of the fact that always he didn't care about for himself when he was tired, when he was hungry. Whatever, he always did God's work. It involved sacrifice. But this whole chapter is about the persecution he faced. We remember the scourging that we talked about last week. We talked about the crown of thorns and the mocking of the robe. And just ripping the robe off itself is excruciating pain. But the persecution that he faced. Remember how they talked about the cross where they were mocking him, telling him, if thou be the Son of God, you know, come off the cross, we'll believe in you. And they mocked him and they persecuted him. And the Bible tells us, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know, don't get tired of it. Don't think it's not going to come. Don't think everybody's going to pat you on the back. It's going to be tough. If you're going to finish the job that God's called you to do, and you say, what job are you talking about, Pastor? Well, it could be anything. It could be a husband's job of being the head of the household with his wife. It could be a father or a mother raising the children because God gave you that children. He wants you to finish that job. It could be a work at the church. It could be you're a part of being a soul winner. It could be a wide variety of things. You know what God's put in your heart and what responsibilities God's given you to do. Finish the job. He brought you to Faith Baptist Church not to just sit and not do anything, but to learn and to grow and to minister to others. Finish the job that he's giving you to do. Pastor, you're making it sound like I'm an old person that's getting ready to die and I need to get finished strong. No, we need to finish every day trying to do the job that God's called us to do that day, whatever it may be. Finish the job that he's given us. Don't give up when time gets hard. Even when the kids start rebelling, finish the job being a good parent. Finish the job being a good grandparent. Finish the job being a Sunday school teacher, a bus worker. Finish the job when it comes to be the right husband, to finish the right wife. Finish the job when it comes to whatever it is that God's placed in your line today. Finish the job. But as you're finishing that job, it will involve persecution. Last Sunday night, if you weren't here, we talked about not being surprised. Not being surprised, we're not talking about a surprise party, but we're talking about because of the fiery trials that come in our lives. The Bible says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as some strange thing happened unto you. The point is, they were telling us, and it told us over and over in the Bible, look, when the hardship comes, when the persecution comes, don't think it's strange. Don't think this fiery trial is something that is out of the ordinary or abnormal. You know what we hear many times when someone's facing a great trial in their life, and it's easy because I've probably done the same thing. We ask questions, where was God? Why didn't God answer my prayer? Why did God allow this to happen to me? Why in the world am I going through this? And these are all questions that we ourselves have asked. But here in 1 Peter, what does it say? Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials. The Bible says, all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. The day is coming where we're going to face hardships because we have chosen to line up with Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not talking about facing hardships because of sin in our lives and God is chastening us and trying to bring us back into a right relationship, that is another message, because that is truth and that does happen. But why do good things happen to bad people? Sometimes it's just because we've chosen to be on God's side. Sometimes it's just because we've chosen to live for Him and give our lives to Him. And the world will not stand up and clap their hands. But instead, the Bible has said, the devil is a roaring lion. And he's seeking who he may devour. He's trying to ruin your life. He pulls out all the shots here. He pulls out everything. And all that can be imaginable that can be done to Jesus Christ is done to Him. And He goes through all of it all to be able to hang on the cross and be able to cry out the words, "It is finished," because He wanted to finish the job that God's given Him. And the devil will pull out whatever tricks and whatever tantrums and do whatever he can and do whatever tactics he can to cause you to suffer persecution and to cause harm to happen in your life, to try to get you to quit, because he doesn't want you to finish the job. He wants you to stop. He wants you to sit on the sideline. He just wants you to watch. He wants you to make up the excuses saying, "Well, just let somebody else do it. I'm done. I'm over with it." He wants you to finish the job that God's given you to do. And Christian, are we finishing? How are we finishing? The third thing I want you to see is that finishing the job will encourage others. And we see in this story, it's not hard to see the sacrifice that was made. It's not hard to see that Christ was persecuted in this world. But I love the fact that the influence it makes as he finishes his job. Look in verses 38 and 39. In this story here, you have two men, religious leaders, who are both become followers of Jesus Christ. But they're afraid. They do it in secret because they're afraid of what the Jews are going to think of them or what the Pharisees will think of them. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, by about 100 pound weight. You know what? When we finish the job, we're going to influence others. We're going to encourage others. Jesus here. And I don't know about you, but I don't know why Joseph of Arimathea chose not to reveal himself as a follower or a disciple of Jesus Christ. If he would have said, "Hey, I'm lining up with Jesus," he loses his position. He loses his family. He loses everything. But you know what? You know what he does? He watches him on the cross. He sees what Jesus Christ went through. We don't know whether or not he was there at the Sanhedrin. Technically, every member had to be there at the Sanhedrin to have trial, but we know that trial was a mockery trial, that maybe not everyone was there. But Joseph Arimathea, he was a wise counselor. He was a member there, and he watched everything that Jesus Christ went through. And upon watching that, and upon seeing the earth grow dark, and upon seeing the earth shake, and upon seeing all these things happen, something happens in Joseph's life. He sees Jesus on that cross. He visualizes. He hears everything that goes on. He hears him say, "Father, forgive them." He hears everything that happens and sees everything that happens. And he says, "If he's willing to do that for me, then why should I be ashamed and not come out and say I'm a follower of Jesus Christ?" Because Jesus Christ finished the job and encouraged others. Think about Nicodemus. Same thing. Cost the same price. That if he was going to finish the job, guess what? It was going to cost him something also. But when he saw the great sacrifice and the great persecution that Jesus Christ went through, guess what? He said, "That cost really isn't that much. If he was willing to die on that cross for me, what is it that I should not be willing to do for him?" Both of them come out and say, "I don't care who knows. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ." That encourages others. Finish the job. And I tell you, we were talking to the seniors, senior luncheon on Tuesday. And I told them, I said, "When you come to church and you're in your 80s or mid-80s or 90s or mid-90s or towards the end of your 90s, I tell them, when people see you at church, you encourage them. You encourage them. You, they're trying to finish the job. I told them that, and I know that they don't always get to do everything that they like to do, because I know we talk to them and their bodies, and I hear so often, I wish I would have done more when I was younger. And I tell them, look, go tell the younger people that, so they won't have the same regrets. But you see people that struggle in with wheelchairs and with canes, and they're saying, hey, look, I'm on this side. This is where I want to go. This is where I want to be. This is where I want to finish. I want to finish well. And I tell you, that's an encouragement to me. Is it? I mean, that should be an encouragement to all of us when we see them that are willing with aches and pains and everything else come to church. And I told them that that's an encouragement. I also told them, don't fall asleep in church, because that's a discouragement. But don't encourage them by sitting there and then fall asleep, because I know sometimes when they get older, they can't handle. But when it says finish the job, do the best you can. Do the best you can. You know, you want to finish well. What in your life today are you finishing? What is the next turn? Before you get to that next turn, young person, before you get out of high school or get out of junior high, make sure you finish that well. Don't forget about looking so much in the future that you don't finish what you've done well. When you finish in high school, you know, getting ready to go graduation, get excited about going and doing the next thing, make sure you finish this well. And when you're in your 20s, finish that well. When you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s, finish well. God has given us all responsibilities and jobs to do. And if we're going to finish that job well, if we're going to finish the job that God's given us, we can't do it. We can't quit just because we get tired. I'm sure Jesus did not sleep that night. He was beaten and bruised and battered, went through all that for us. He was exhausted. He couldn't even carry the cross. He was doing the best he could, and his body just gave out. And even while his body's giving out, he's telling those women, don't weep for me. Don't feel sorry for me. Look upon yourself. See what you need. Change what needs to happen in your life. Be worried about your nation, what's going on in your nation. And he's exhausted. He doesn't quit because he gets tired. He doesn't quit because he's physically unable. He doesn't quit when the persecution comes. He doesn't quit because of the cost of the sacrifice. And that's what we need to see. We need to see the cross. We need to see the sacrifice that was made. We need to see the persecution he dealt with. But we need to see that that's going to encourage others. Brother Barnhouse came this past, I think it was this past August, and he says, man, how good it was to see people that had been here for however many years still here. And still growing, and he says, and still doing things. And he pointed out a couple, and he says, I didn't think that they were ever going to last. I didn't think they would ever make it. You know what? It's good to see that. It's an encouragement. We love seeing new people. Don't get me wrong. We want them to be here. We want them to finish what God's given to. But too many of us have quit. Too many of us have stopped serving. Too many of us has given in. Too many of us has said, there's better things to do with my life. But what we need to do is view the cross and see what he did for us and say, there's nothing, nothing, nothing that he could ask me to do that would be too much. But too often we say, let somebody else do it. It's gotten hard, Pastor. I know it gets hard. I knew it because the Bible told me it was going to be hard. Pastor, people don't appreciate it. I know people don't appreciate it. You should try working with teenagers and kids sometimes. We try to teach them over, say thank you to people, because you should show appreciation. You know, not everybody do that. Not everybody does that. And it bothers you. It's just not worth it. Now, aren't you thankful Jesus didn't say it wasn't worth it? Aren't you thankful that he finished the job? And I know it gets tiresome. I know it gets hard. I know it seems like somebody's against you. Everything's against you. Pastor, you don't know how hard it is, how much I had to give up to read my Bible every day and to pray every day. You don't know how difficult it is to be a witness. You don't know how difficult it is to raise children up in this day and time. You don't know. And guess what? I do know, because the Bible tells us what it's like. And I know that I have never experienced what some of you have experienced. I know some of you are dealing with illnesses, or if you've conquered illnesses by God's help. You're facing things that you've never faced before, and things are happening in your family that you wish that you could control that you just can't. Only thing you can take care of is finishing the job that God's given you. Finishing the course, running that race. You can't run the race for me. I can't run the race for you. You can't run the race for your family. You can't run the race for your daughters, your sons, your grandparents, your grandsons, whatever it is. You can only finish your race. Finish your job this morning. Is there something you give up on? Something you've quit? finish the job. Is there something that God has spoken to your heart about that he wants you to do? Maybe reading the Bible every year, maybe praying every day, maybe memorizing scripture, maybe being faithful to church, then finish the job that he's given you to do. Maybe it's about giving to your missions or giving to the church, then finish the job he's given you to do. Maybe it's about inviting at least one person every day to come to church, then finish that job he's given you to do. Maybe it is to try to bring revival. Maybe it is to pray for somebody else, but you've gotten tired, you've grown cold, and you no longer want to do it. You've slid back. That's backsliding if you didn't know. You slid back from the responsibilities that God's given you, and you stopped doing the things that God's spoken to your heart, and you know you made a commitment, whether it be an altar or at your seat, and you've just stopped. We need to finish the job. We need to pick it back up and finish what God's given us to do. And it's not because you're going to be gone tomorrow. Well, we don't know if we're going to be gone tomorrow. But because of the God gives us a job every single day. Jesus, the whole entire time he was here, he was always about the Father's business. Never did a miracle for himself. Would even turn the stones to bread because that would have been something for himself. Did not do any of those things. It was always for somebody else. And at the end, hanging on that cross, yes, in extreme pain, scourge, went through physical things that I don't believe any other individual had ever gone through. But he said, it is finished. He's the victor. The liberals and the unsaved and those like the mock say, oh, look, that's his cry as giving up and giving in. No, it was the cry of a victor saying, it's all done. I've done exactly what God's called me to do. It's over now. It is finished. You can know that you have your sins paid for by Jesus Christ if you only call upon it because he finished that work. Your job is important. Look at the cross this week. Consider it. Consider the sacrifice that was made. Consider the persecution that was put through. And consider how when Jesus finished a job, it encouraged others. You say, I want to reach my family. I want to reach my friends. I want to reach my neighbor. I want to reach my coworker. And finish your job. That can encourage somebody else. But when you give up, you know what's going to happen? They're going to say, oh, they gave up. It wasn't that much to them. It wasn't that important. They'll remember that. You know, as a preacher, it's funny. I talk to people sometimes, and I go to somebody's house, and I go and talk with them, and maybe they're upset or they're mad. And the preacher says maybe one thing. He says, I didn't like it when the preacher talked about that person. Now, I said, how long have you been going to that church? 10, 15 years? So you've heard probably 10,000 messages. And because you didn't like the one thing the preacher said, that's what you remember, and that's why you stopped coming to church. They said, yep. You know, that's sad. But the truth is, that's what people are going to remember about you if you quit. They're not going to remember, and this might be, they're not going to remember all the times you came to church. They're going to remember when you stayed home to watch Super Bowl. I've been going to church with my wife for a long, long time. And I think one of the nights I probably disappointed more than anything else was the night that I stayed home to watch Pittsburgh Steelers lose in the Super Bowl. I think they lost because I stayed home, but that's a whole other story. And I tell you that, and no, she doesn't bring it up. But that's the night I remember. I don't remember all those nights I went to church and was always faithful and never missed. Taught Sunday school, taught junior church. You know, those are the things that people are going to remember. That's definitely what the unsaved world's going to remember. We need to finish the job and finish it strong. We need to be an example to those that are around us. So when you're feeling tired and you want to give up and you don't think it's important, finish the job. Jesus Christ finished the job. Let us finish the job too. I pray that you seek your heart and look deep in your heart and ask God, is there something in my life that I'm not finishing? And help me to finish it well. I want to finish the job. Maybe it's time to look back at some commitments we made that we've slid back from doing. We've backed off from doing. Now, does that mean that we can never switch jobs? No. Miss Patty here gets to teach the junior high girls Sunday school class. That's not because she gave up on the other class because there was need. She switched. She's trying to finish. She finished that strong. Now she's got a new job. God does move us around, changes to different spots. We're thankful for that. And that's not talking about that. But I'm talking about giving up because we're tired, or giving up because it's gotten hard, or giving up because of the sacrifice that was needed. Now, I know there are times when we have to stop something because we physically cannot do that. I get that. And I said that to the senior luncheon. He says, I know there are times when you physically cannot cut the grass anymore, or you physically cannot paint a wall, or you physically cannot, but those are not the times to quit doing, this time to quit doing those things. But there's other things we can do.
Yes, sir.
Let's finish the job. Let's go ahead and pray.